Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, I'm reading from the New International Version. This is God's Word. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias went down to Caesarea with some of the elders and a lawyer named Tertullus. And they brought their charges against Paul before the governor. When Paul was called in, Tertullus presented his case before Felix. "We've enjoyed a long period of peace under you, and your foresight has brought about reforms in this nation. Everywhere and in every way, most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this with profound gratitude. But in order not to weary you further, I would request that you be kind enough to hear us briefly. We have found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. He is a ringleader of the Nazarene sect and even tried to desecrate the temple. So we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to learn the truth about all these charges we are bringing against him." The Jews joined in the accusation, asserting that these things were true. When the governor motioned for him to speak, Paul replied, "I know that for a number of years you have been a judge over this nation, so I gladly make my defense. You can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship. My accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple or stirring up a crowd in the synagogues or anywhere else in the city. And they cannot prove to you the charges they are now making against me. However, I admit that I worship God, the God of our forefathers, as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that agrees with the law and that is written in the prophets. And I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. After an absence of several years, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings. I was ceremonially clean when they found me in the temple courts doing this. There was no crowd with me, nor was I involved in any disturbance. But there are some Jews from the province of Asia who ought to be here before you and bring charges if they have anything against me. Or these who are here should state what crime they found in me when I stood before the Sanhedrin. Unless it was this one thing I shouted as I stood in their presence. It is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today." Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. "When Lysias, the commander, comes," he said, "I will decide your case." He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. But because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Try to put yourself in Paul's place for a moment. You are where you are because you're seeking to do what God says that you're to do. Paul hadn't taken a detour from serving God. Paul had gone to Jerusalem because he believed that that's what God wanted him to do. And he had gone knowing that he was risking his life, but he was willing to die rather than be disobedient to God. So Paul has gone to Jerusalem. He has been falsely accused, attacked by a mob of people who beat him savagely, trying to kill him. And then having been rescued from that, there have been several subsequent efforts on the part of the people to find a way to kill him. They haven't gotten their hands on him. But rather than being in the hands of the people that are trying to kill him, he's a prisoner of Rome. And so when he's brought in now to have a hearing, he knows that if he's a prisoner of Rome, no fun, but at least he's being kept alive. If Rome says, okay, you're free to go, he may not make it 2 miles down the road. So he's in an interesting position, knowing that there are groups of people who are looking to kill him, and that's going to continue to occur. He'd had people try to kill him before. He'd been beaten before. But here, he's about to get to speak in his defense. And when he speaks, the person that he's speaking to is a Roman from a pagan background, a polytheistic background, who is not just presiding over an area that's heavily Jewish, he has married a Jew. And so Paul's presentation to him, he doesn't have to explain that there is one God. He doesn't have to explain this is what we believe. The fact is, the man before whom he's speaking is someone who knows. Verse 22, Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, not a follower of the way by any stretch, but Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias the commander comes, I'll decide your case. He orders the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Now, what was it that Paul said in his first presentation to Felix? He said, I believe everything that is consistent with the scriptures. This faith in Jesus Christ is not some new thing that contradicts what goes before. It is the fulfillment of what God had said from the beginning. This is God's plan to bring salvation to mankind through Jesus Christ. And so what he says is, everything that I believe is consistent with the scriptures, and I am looking forward to standing before God after I die, because there is a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. Think of the implications to this Roman. You're going to have to stand before God. You will. Every one of you. You're going to have to stand before God. So the initial response of Felix is to adjourn the proceedings. It's like, okay, we've heard enough. Thank you very much. We'll pick this up again later. He doesn't want to continue. He could have asked more questions, but he doesn't want to do it.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Several days later, verse 24, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Jesus Christ. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." Message this morning is titled, A Convenient Time. My wife and I lived on Cape Cod for 5 years. We had a lovely home, and for 3 of those years, we had a view of the ocean from our home. I mean, it was lovely. We were just up the street from the fishing pier, where all the fishermen brought their catch in. We could see the boats as they went in and out of the harbor. And it was lovely. It was lovely. We had a bunch of fishermen, commercial fishermen, in our church. Now, these are not sports fishermen. These are not guys who go down and stand in the surf and cast out there and try and catch something. That's fun. That's good. These were the guys who brought in tons of fish. Okay? They brought in huge quantities of fish that they had caught in their nets. And they often invited me to go out with them and experience life at sea. I never went. I never said no. I said, well, I'll have to see if we can do that sometime. I just never found a convenient time. It was not that I was opposed to it, but you see, I wanted to go out on a day when the sea would be calm. I wanted to go out when the skies were blue and when it would be comfortable and not too long a trip, but we'd still get plenty of fish. Okay? I wanted it to be easy for me. I was hoping perhaps we could just make a jaunt where I wouldn't even have to use the bathroom at sea. Okay? Because these were not luxury liners. These were not boats with cabins for passengers. The creatures that were well accommodated on these boats were the fish. Okay? You understand? These boats were designed to handle fish. The crew had to fend for themselves. And it could get rough at sea. One of my favorite fishermen in our church was a fellow by the name of Dave Farnham. And he said, you know, I get seasick every spring when I start going out again. He said, I have to get used to it all over again. He said, later in the season, I'm okay. But the beginning of the season, it's really rough. And he said, I always get sick. I just count on that. That's just part of what I do for a living. He said, this is more information than you want, but I've got to tell it for the sake of the children. He said, one time I was so sick, I was throwing up over the side of the boat, and my dentures came out, and I caught them in my hand. I just rinsed them off and put them back in. But Dave had painted a picture of life at sea that made me think, this probably isn't the day I want to go. You know, maybe one of these days, but not right now. I mean, I love to eat fish, but tons of fish can be a little smelly. Right? It wasn't that I was opposed to going out on the boat. I just never in 5 years found a convenient time. You understand? Just never got around to it. I didn't oppose it, but I'll tell you something else. We almost never went to the beach. We lived on Cape Cod. The beach was right there. There was always something else going on. I mean, there was always something else that we had to do on that given day. And if you're going to go to the beach, you really got to be all in. You just don't go to the beach for a few minutes. You're going to get sandy. Okay? And if you got 3 preschoolers, and one of them is handicapped, It just gets more and more complicated, and pretty soon you just decide, you know, it's not worth it. It's just, you know, I mean, we'll do it sometime, but this isn't a convenient time. It's not that we didn't intend. We didn't decide we weren't going to the beach. We kept telling each other, we need to go to the beach. Now, we live so far from the beach, adjoining the Great Smoky Mountains National Park with over 900 miles of hiking trails. So as you might imagine, I go hiking every few years. It's not that I don't want to go hiking. I tell my wife, we ought to go in there and go for a hike. And she says, okay, let me know. You know, we'll go. And I just never find a convenient time. I just don't get around to it. I intend to. I think it'd be great. I just don't do it. I want to start a diet. Just haven't found a convenient time because I do so many things socially, you know, that require food. And so, I mean, you wouldn't want to see me talking without my mouth full. So, you know, we just, there's always something that makes it not a good time to start a diet or an exercise program or a more disciplined budget or any number of other things. In fact, there are some things we know we ought to do that could really be serious and our lives might depend on it, and we still don't find it convenient. I actually know a person who is reasonably well educated, university degree or two, and she, it's not my wife, she's educated too, but this didn't happen to her. Everybody sits there, I know, and they try, who's he talking about? Is it someone in the church or is it a relative? Or perhaps a former parishioner? Is he going to talk that way about us? I already talk that way about you. This gal, with her education, got a good job, got a good paycheck, bought a nice car, and drove it until the engine totally seized up. It was towed to the dealer, and they looked at it and said, when was the last time you changed the oil? 48,000 miles in a Gran Torino without an oil change. Now we know how far you can drive a Gran Torino without changing the oil. About 48,000 miles, and then the engine goes, and it's it. It's over, okay? You know, she wasn't opposed to oil changes. She just hadn't gotten around to doing it. Now, the reason I tell about these things is because you and I are in danger of being like Felix. When things start to get a little uncomfortable, God's speaking to us about something, we just don't want to deal with it right now. It's not that we don't want to deal with it. It's not that we're telling God never. We're just saying, nah, I'm not comfortable right now. I don't want to hear about this. I don't really want to think about this. I really don't want to go there. Just not right now. I will have you back at a more convenient time. That's enough for now. Why did he say that? He was afraid. That's what it says. As Paul discoursed, verse 25, on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, that's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I'll send for you. Now, it turns out he did send for him. In fact, he sent for him frequently and talked with him. But why? He was not only fearful, he was greedy. And when he saw Paul, he saw an opportunity to make the Jews happy by keeping him a prisoner and an opportunity to possibly enrich his own financial portfolio by getting a bribe from Paul. Please understand this. Here is a man anointed by God as an apostle. He is a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ through whom God has worked miracles of healing. Numerous people have been miraculously changed by the power of God at work in this man's life. And this Roman official is seeing him without seeing any of that. He has no idea what he's dealing with. That would be like taking a magnificent filet mignon and saying, I wonder if I could use this for a doorstop. I mean, how crazy is that? Here's something that has enormous value. There really was, years ago, a large diamond that was being used as a doorstop. And somebody, it was a rock. It was a rock. And somebody said, I think that thing has value. The Apostle Paul had the gospel, the good news. This is the best message that anybody anywhere has ever heard. Paul had it. And Felix is like, not right now. Gee, I wonder if I could get some money from him. Money? What is of value to you? What are you searching? What are you thirsting for? What do you long to have God do in your life? When God starts to do what it takes in order to get you where you need to be, do you say, yes, God, or do you say, that's enough, not right now? You and I need to be careful lest we end up like Felix. Time and again, repeatedly meeting with Paul and not even knowing what he's passing up on. For 2 years, he met with Paul repeatedly. He never received the gospel. Not because Paul didn't proclaim it, but because he didn't have ears for it. He's waiting for Paul to offer him a bribe. Waiting for Paul to offer him a bribe. And Paul is offering him life, forgiveness, salvation, a brand new life. And all he wants is money. All he wants is just temporal stuff. He wants the people to like him. That's why he leaves Paul a prisoner. Paul, meanwhile, is faithful. I mean, what's a guy like Paul to do? He just sits around writing the New Testament, you know. I mean, you make the best of the time. But folks, you and I need to realize, on the one hand, that we are in danger of doing the same thing. We also need to understand that there are a lot of people around us who don't realize what's of value. And we've got to be faithful as the opportunity arises in sharing the good news with them. But at the same time, we've got to realize they may have no idea what's being offered. Felix didn't. When it hit too close to home, he ended the conversation because he was looking for the wrong thing. But you know, somewhere in the back of his mind, the question had to occur to him in order for him to be made uncomfortable. What if it's true? What if it's real? What if the gods that I grew up thinking were most important really are nothing but fantasies? What if there really is one God who sent his Son to save us? And the only way that I can be forgiven and reconciled to the judge before whom I will stand and give an account someday is to turn my life over to his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let me tell you something, it is true. Jesus is the only way that any of us can be saved. But he doesn't just come to forgive. He comes to rule and to reign. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.